Today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Zayin, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Tez Zayin Amid Beis, the Idach Maihi. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, and as a schus refuah shalema for Moshe Yaakov Yosef ben Rus. So we're moving along, continuing to discuss the Yud Ches Dvarim, the 18 Takonos that were instituted in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gara. These had previously been 18 points of machloikis between the Talmidim of Beis Shammai and the Talmidim of Beis Hillel. And it was at that attic that they took a vote, V'rabu Talmidei Beis Shammai al Talmidei Beis Hillel, and the halacha l'doirois became like Beis Shammai. So up until this point, the Gemara has mentioned 10 of the Yud Ches Dvarim. The first 9 were the Mishnah in Mesechta Zavim, all related to different chidushim in the world of Sheni Latoma. We'll get back to them again at the end of the daf. And then the 10th one that the Gemara mentioned, which was a halacha that relates to Mayim She'uvim. It's a Gimel Lugim Mayim She'uvim that go into a mikvah that's chaser would disqualify the mikvah. But in order for the Mayim She'uvim to be considered Mayim She'uvim, there'd have to be some das on behalf of the owner of this water, so to speak, when the water went into the keli to render it Mayim She'uvim. It was Machlokes Bisham Bisil as relates to one of the details of that halacha. That was the 10th so far of the Yud Ches Dvarim that the halacha was decided to be like Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara Vidach Mayhi, what's the 11th? So the 11th is Nogeya, the halachas of Tumas Oil, and like so many of these Yud Ches Dvarim, they're Nogeya, abstract and obscure halachas, and as a result, they require a little bit of an introduction. So we know that not all Tumas were created equally, meaning different Tumas have an ability to convey Tumah in different ways. Not just that, the severity of the Tumah will depend on what the source of the Tumah is. The most chamor Tumah is Tumas Meis. So a corpse, a dead person, conveys Tumah on a level that nothing else does. One of the chidushim of Tumas Meis is that Tumas Meis is metama not only b'maga, not only b'masa, but it's metame b'oil as well. So what exactly is tumas oil? So loosely translated, we have an idea of what it is. But as it relates to the sugya, we have to understand it a little bit better. And that is, there's 3 types of tumas oil. Tumas oil is if somebody would be mahil on a mace. So if there's a mace lying on the ground, somebody steps over the mace, he becomes tameh, even though he didn't touch the tameh, he didn't carry the mace. The fact that he was mal on the mace, that makes him tameh tumas mace through oil. Another example of tumas oil is if the mace itself would be mal on the person. So somebody is minding his own business and a mace somehow was mal on top of him. That would be another example of tumas oil. He would be tameh tumas mace. The third example is if a person and a mace are underneath the same roof, that too would make the person tamei tumas oil. The chiddush is, over here, the person was never mahil on the mace. The mace was never mahil on the person. It was merely that the person and the mace were under the same oil. We say that being that they were under the same oil, somehow the tuma permeates in a affects this person and he becomes tamei tumas meis. If someone becomes tamei tumas meis al yidei oil, it's no different than if he became tamei tumas meis al yidei maga. If he became tamei tumas meis al yidei masa, the halacha is always the same. In order for him to be tahar, he's tamei 7 days. He needs the efer of the paraduma. It's the reason why everybody today is considered becheskas tamei tumas meis, because we don't have the paraduma. As a result, it's inevitable that somebody at the very least was in a tumas oil situation with a mace, and that's why we're considered to be tamei tumas mace. The point is that as it relates to tumas oil, there's 3 ways that a person could be tamei tumas oil. There is, however, a nafkamina between the first 2 types and the third. Meaning, when a person is mahal on the mace, or the mace is mahal on the person, it's considered a little bit more chamer. The third case, where the person and the mace were under the same oil, being that there was no direct oil relationship between person and mace, it's considered a little bit more kuladig. Where does the kula manifest itself? There's a halacha that the only time an oil is considered an oil, for the purposes when a person and a mace were underneath the same oil, is if the oil was at least one tefach. But if it wasn't one tefach wide, it's not considered an oil. And again, that's only true for the third type of tumas oil. So if a person is mahil on top of a mace, even if the part of the person was somehow pachos mitefach, it wouldn't matter. If the mace was mahil on the person, it wouldn't matter. Meaning, even if it was a little tiny part of the mace, that was less than a tefach. Where this halach is nogeya is if the person wasn't mahil on the mace wasn't mahil on the person, rather the person and the mace were both underneath the same oil, so that's the regular tumas oil. You'll need the regular paraduma, but it's a little bit more kuladig. It's more kuladig that there's a halacha that you would need that the oil should be wide a tefach. Stating that, says the Gemara, Idach Mai, he did not learn to the Mishnah, and this Mishnah, as you would expect, is in Mesechta Zaholos, the 16th parak of Mesechta Zaholos. Kol metaltolin levinas atuma, ba'ovi hamardeya. All metaltolin can be mevi tuma, even if the oil is not a tefach thick, but rather it has the thickness of a mardeya. So the mardeya is the goad that farmers used to use, and it was typically less than a tefach. In fact, it was usually a third of a tefach. And still the halacha is that it has the ability to be metama. Now this is a very big chiddush, because we just said that the only time an oil that's on top of a mace and on person is considered an oil for the purposes of tumas oil is if it's wide a tefach. Here it's not wide a tefach. The standard mardeya that you bought at your local store was a third of a tefach. And yet the halacha is, it still have the ability to be metam. What's the reason for it? The reason is because the mardeya was round. And being that it was round, even though the thickness of it was only a tefach, but the circumference of it was three times that. And as a result, the circumference was a tefach. Meaning if it's one third of a tefach thick, that means going around, the circumference is going to be a full tefach. So the Chachamim said that even though really in halacha, we shouldn't treat it as an oil that has the thickness of a tefach. But this is a takonas Chachamim. It was one of the Yud Ches Dvarim. Says the Gemara on that note. Amar Reb Tarfin. Reb Tarfin heard this and Reb Tarfin disagreed. He said, Akapa Ches Bonai. Reb Tarfin said that he's willing to risk the lives of his children. Shezu halacha mikupachas. Meaning, he was so disturbed at what he heard that he said almost a lashon klala. He said, akapachas bana shezu halacha mikupachas. This halacha cannot be true. There's no way in the world it's true. Shashama shemeya v'toh. So how did this halacha somehow evolve? How did it develop? So Rav Tarfin said that somebody heard this halacha, the following halacha, and he made a mistake. So what was the halacha that the person heard? He heard as follows. Ikur over madea. A farmer was walking and he had his goad on his shoulder. So the goad was on his shoulder. The other side of this goes, just think of this pole, one side is touching him and the other side is on top of a mace. So the halach is timuoy. And apparently this was a mace shahoya kachoya. And the chachamim decided that this person is going to be tame. And the reason he's going to be tame is because of tumas oil. Now this goad, again, was only a third of a tefach. And technically, the person himself never came in contact with the mace. He didn't touch it. There was no masa. He didn't go on top of the mace. The mace didn't go on top of him. What was it? There was tumas oil of the third variety, the most kuladig variety, where this goad was mahil on top of the person, and it was also mahil on top of the mace. And what did the Chachamim say? That he's going to be tamei. So Rav Tarfin said, this is for sure where this halacha came from. You want to know why people think this halacha is true? They got it from here. But Rav Tarfin said that they really made a very big mistake. You know what the mistake was? You know why this person was tamei? He was tamei for a whole different reason. Because the goat itself, Hold Cheshbin, was mile on top of the mace. Being that the gold was mile on the mace, the goat itself became tamei. And again, even though the goat itself is pachas mitefach, it doesn't matter. Because the type of tumah, smace, where you made direct contact al yudei oil, there the halacha is that tumas oil is conveyed even if it's pachas mitefach. So what happened is, the mardeya itself, even though it was pachas mitefach, being that it was on top of the mace, it became tumah. So the mardeya was tumah. What kind of tumah did it have? It had a rishon l'tumah. It became tummy through the mace. Then it touched the person. Being that it touched the person, it was now mitama the person. Now, that tumah that it was mitama the person was really only a tumas erev. It wasn't a real tumas mace because the person never came in contact with the mace. It came in contact with the mardeya that was mal on top of the mace. And that's what the Chachamim said when they said in that case the farmer was tummy. But they didn't mean he was tummy tumas shiva. He was tummy tumas mace because really there was no direct contact, even through oil, between the person. Because the only oil that you had over here was the mardeya, and the mardeya was too small. It was a third of a tefach. No, what happened was the mardeya became tummy through the mace, and then the mardeya was matama the person. But either way, Reb Tarfon said, "Akapach es bona ishazu alocha mekupachas." He said, it's a mistake. There's no way this alocha is true. I'm Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, "Ani asakin." He told Reb Tarfon that I understand, Reb Tarfon, where you're coming from, and I think you're right. But at the same time, I think we can tweak it a little bit. Maybe we can find the common ground where we could both agree. Shiyu divrei chachamim kayamim. How so? Shiyu kol ha-metaltel mevin esatum alo adam shenoysa oisan ba'ovei amardeh. Meaning, I think that the chachamim got it right. That in this case, where the farmer was walking and the mardeya was on his shoulder and it was on top of the mace, when they were metame the farmer, they weren't metame him tumas erev, like you think. They were metame him tumas shiva. Ah, you can ask Akasha, why were they metame him tumas shiva? L'chura, it was less than a tefach. And I agree with you, Reb Tarfon. It's not because the chachamim were mesakein that even though midday raisa, based on the halachis l'moshe misinai that govern all shiurim, the mardeya would have had been a tefach, but they were mesakein that even if it's less than a tefach, they were never mesakein less than a tefach. It was specifically in this case that they were mesakein less than a tefach. And the reason is because being that this person was going to be tameh anyways, tameh tumas maga, they felt if they wouldn't be metameh in tumas shiva, people would get confused. Because people are going to assume that the reason he's tameh is because of tumas oil. And he's only tameh tumas erev. So you're going to confuse people as it relates to tumas shiva in general. So the chachamim said, you know what? You're tameh for sure. Let's just make you tameh tumas shiva already. That just makes more sense. Really, you shouldn't be tameh tumas shiva. Because really, you didn't have a proper oil. You're tameh tumas erev because you came in contact with something that was mal on top of the maize. But this is a little bit confusing. Not everyone's going to chop all this. And as a result, they decided that they're going to make you tameh. So, enochinami, sometimes oil that's pachis mitefach will have the ability to be metama when it's mal on top of a person, on top of a mace, sometimes it won't be able to. How so? If it's on the person, sheyu kol ha-metaltel mevin esatuma alo adam shenoysois, and that's ba'ivei amardeya. Val atzman bekolshein, if it just goes merely on top of the mace, even if it's a kolshu, like we said. Val shar adam vekelem beseach tefach, but ordinarily it's going to have to be a tefach. Om Rabbi Yani said, umardeya she'omru, as it relates to this mardeya, we spoke to that already, im ba'ovye tefach, it wasn't thicker tefach, but b'yesh behekefe tefach, meaning in the Veltaran, they wouldn't have just gone ahead and made a takana. Even though they were making the takana for this reason with the mardeya, but it was still rooted in some rationale. The rationale is that even though it's not a tefach, but the circumference is a tefach, and people may know the concept of tefach, they'll think this is a tefach. The bottom line is this is what they said. In other words, Rabbi Akiva seems to say that there is an idea of kol ha-metaltel mevin esatuma ba'ovei amardeya, but he tweaked it. It's only if that oil is on the person at the same time that it was mal on the maize. And the reason is being that the person's tameh anyways, tumas erev, so the chacham already expanded it to tumas shiva. Reb Tarfon didn't seem to agree with that. Reb Tarfon was very dramatic. Akapach es bona ishazu alacha mikupachas. So it sounds like, according to Reb Tarfon, this halacha is not true. So says the Gemara, we have to do a little math here. Reb Tarfon, dom akapach es bona ishazu mikupachas, batzri luhu, according to Reb Tarfon, you're missing one. Meaning, we're going to count this now as number 11 for the Yudches Dvarim. According to Reb Tarfon, we don't have number 11. Abraham Nachum by Yitzchak, you have to say, afpnois kutim nidois me arisosam by bayim gazru. You have to say, according to Reb Tarfon, benois kutim nidois me arisosam. As we mentioned in yesterday's daf, the fact that every little girl that's a kuti, literally me arisosam, even if she's still in her crib, she has a din of a nida, that's bayim gazru. Says the Gemara, ubi'idach sabla kramer. But just one more cheshbon you're going to have to make, you're going to have to say that if that's the case, meaning if in lieu of the mardeya, Reb Tarfon is going to have benois kutin nidois mea rusasan, you have to say that Reb Tarfon is going to hold like Reb Meir on Daf Tezayin Amud Beis, that as it relates to the Tzinar and the Mayim Sheuvim, that was one of the Yudches Dvarim. Because if you remember, it was a machlokes Reb Meir, Reb Yossi, whether that was one of the Yudches Dvarim. Reb Meir said yeah, Reb Yossi said not. The Gemara said, according to Reb Yossi, you're missing one. And what did the Gemara say is the one that's mashlim according to Rabbi Yossi? It's benois kutim nidas ma'arusasas. If you already use benois kutim nidas ma'arusasas for the 10th one, can't use it again for the 11th. So it's hajra kushal aduchte, it's going to be batzri lo. So says the Gemara, just if you're keeping score, the cheshbon is, you'll have to say that Reb Tarfon held like Reb Meir as it relates to the 10th, and as a result, he can hold like what the Gemara said for Rabbi Yossi on Daf Tezayin Amud Beis, the 11th one is going to be Benois Kutim Nidais Me'arusas. It says the Gemara V'idach. Okay, so we already have 11. What about the 12th one? So says the Gemara, that's the Geir, another halacha. That's the Geir, the halacha of Mesechtes Machshirim. So again, Mesechtes Machshirim comes up a lot. So just to review, in order for food to be Mekabel Toma, it has to first be Huchshel Mekabel Toma. What does it mean? It means it became wet. Not only did it become wet, but it became wet in one of two ways. Either the bailim of the fruit made it wet. He took water or some other mashkin and he poured it on top of the food. Or he didn't physically do it. It happened on its own. It happened b'memela, but it was nichusa. He was okay with what happened. If food becomes wet and the bailim is not nichale when it becomes wet, then you don't have this halacha. So says the Gemara, haboitzer legas. If somebody was harvesting his grapes, and while he was harvesting his grapes, he's out in the field, he's taking his grapes, he's putting them in barrels, and some of the juice, some of the wine, some of the grape juice oozed out of the grapes. The question now is, are the grapes mukhshel lekabel tuma? If tuma comes in contact with them now, will they be Tomei or will they not be Tomei? Shammai yame huksha. Shammai said, yeah. Hill I'm a loy huksha. Hill said, no. I'm a loy shammai. Hill told Shammai, mipnei ma boitzrim betahayra ve'im moiske betahayra. He says, I don't understand. What difference does it make if somebody's harvesting grapes or someone's harvesting olives? Meaning it seems that the whole machloik is between Shammai and Hillel, by the way, not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Shammai and Hillel. The whole machlokes between Shammai and Hillel was regarding grapes. It sounds like regarding olives, there was no difference. Now, grapes and olives are very similar. You harvest grapes, you harvest olives. When you harvest grapes, some juice is going to come out. When you harvest olives, some oil is going to come out. And Shammai only said as halacha that the juice that comes out of the grapes is machsha the grapes. He never said that the oil that comes out of the olives is going to be machshir the olives. And Hillel, in the course of his shak levatari with Shammai, said, Shammai, you're being inconsistent. I don't understand you. Amaloi. So Shammai told Hillel, Hillel, if you ask me this question one more time, imtakni teini, goizreini tuma afala mesika. I'm going to have no choice, but I'm going to have to be goiz tuma on zesim as well. Incidentally, Reb Moshe Feinstein, in his Dibros Moshe, explains, what's the pshat? What, he was just like this? He's strassing him? Like, what was he doing? He said, no, because if Hillel didn't understand the chilek between grapes and olives, so Shammai told Hillel means no one's going to understand it. Right? Hillel's the God of Adar. He was the Nasi. So Shammai told Hillel, listen, Hillel, you keep on asking me, you're going to give me no choice but to be guys. Meaning, I know there's a difference. I am Barishayim for what the difference is. But there's a difference. But clearly, you're not understanding it. So if you don't understand the difference, I'm going to have no choice and not only be geyser on grapes, which apparently Hillel was unhappy with, but I'm going to have to expand it. Bottom line, it says the Gemara, Natsu Chereb Beis Medrash. They got a little dramatic. They took a sword and they stuck it into the ground in Beis Medrash. Omru, and they said, Hanichnas Yikones, Vayoitze Al Yeitze. Whoever's inside stays inside. Whoever wants to come in can come in. But if somebody wants to leave, he can't leave. Why? So apparently they used to do this. This was customary once upon a time. When they took a vote on a halacha, they would take a sword. You find this in many places in Shas. They would stick it in the ground. So they stuck this ground in Beis Medrash and they decided, we're going to reconcile this. We're going to figure this out right now. Says the Gemara, Hillel was sitting in front of Shammai. Hillel, who was the Nasi, was kafuf, literally, b'hachna, with humility in front of Shammai, ke'echem and ha'tamidim, v'hoyu kosher li'Yisrael. And that day was so bad for Klal Yisrael, as bad as the day that the eagle was made. We're going to get back to this. And at the end of the day, Shammai and Hillel came around, and they were both on the same page, and they both agreed that we're going to be goyzer, that grapes, while they're being harvested, if any juice comes out of it, it's machshel lekabel tumah. But like kiblu minayu, nobody was mekabel it. For asu talmidayu, then the talmidim of Shammai and Hillel came, gozer, and they were goyzer again, the kiblu minayu. Those talmidim that were goyzer were from the Yud Ches Dvarim, and that is the next one of the Yud Ches Dvarim. It says, well, my time. Why did Shammai, why did the talmidim of Shammai, the talmidim of Hillel, why did they feel that we have to make this gzeira? Says the Gemara, Amar Ziri, Amar Reb Chanina, says Ziri said that Reb Chanina, gzeira Shammai yivtzerenu bekupais tmeas. Meaning, the premise to the question is that it seems like Hillel was right. Meaning, it was understood that when a person's harvesting his grapes and juice, wine, comes out of the grapes, he's not really nichale. Why? Because it's going to go to waste. Why would he happy? Why would he be happy about it? So based on the regular rules and regulations that govern machshirin, you would think that the grapes should not be huchshel lekabel tuma. Stating that, Shammai was able to overcome Hillel, apparently through a vote with a sword. And the Talmidim of Shammai and Tamil Hill did the same thing. And it goes down as one of the Yud Ches Dvarim.
even though in Svara Hillel seemed to be right. And that's why the Gemara is struggling to understand. So if Hillel's right in Svara, it's not really Nichalei, so why did the Chum make this Gzeira? And the Gemara is giving a whole bunch of different pshatim that different Amayram gave. The first one was, Ze'iri send the name Reb Chanina, Gzeira Shem Yevtzirena B'Kupay Smeas. They were afraid that what would happen if a person was harvesting his grapes and he was putting them into Kupay Smeas, barrels that are tame. So what's significant about that? So really, in order to fully appreciate this, we have to be ligging in the sugyas of Mesachtas Machshirin, which we're not. But the gist of it is that even though in order for Mashkin to be Machshel Kabal Tomo, you need some level of Ratzon, you need some level of Nichusa, but there is an exception to the rule. One of the exceptions to the rule is Mashkin that's tame. Mashkin that is itself tame. When it comes in contact with food, number one, it could be metama the food sometimes. And even when it can't be metama the food, it could be machsha the food to be makabel tumah. So he was concerned, Xer, what if someone's harvesting his field in a barrel that's itself tameh? If the barrel is tameh, now when the juice comes out, the barrel will be metama the juice. And therefore, will allow the juice to be machsha the grapes to be makabel tumah. In that case, Shammai and Hill, everybody would agree that that it's hokshel lekal v'tumah. That's where it was negated. This halacha. The Gemara says, "Honi chlamad amakli tami chayishem mashkin." That's all true if you hold that way. I mean, not everybody agrees with that. Shap elamad amakli tami chayishem mashkin. My yikel may be coming to mandam that says that a kli tami is nachayishem mashkin. That even a keli that's tami doesn't have the ability to make mashkin. Where there was never a rotzing, there was never a kiyutan dumi dechiyite mukshel lekal v'tumah. So what are you going to say then? Alam ziri am Reb Chanina. So the same ziri said in the same Reb Chanina. It's the same amayir gzeir shem yivtzerena b'kupes mezufafas. No, chapen. What if somebody was harvesting his grapes in a basket that is completely sealed off? The fact that he used a basket that's completely sealed off, there's no way for the juices to come out. It shows that he's okay with the juices coming out of the grapes, because even if it comes out, he's not going to lose it. Right? The reason we assume ordinarily it's leinichale is because what happens if something comes out? He's going to lose it. In this case, he's not going to lose it. So being that he's not going to lose it, so gzeira shema yiftzirenu bekupois mizufafois, in that case it would be nichale, would have the ability to be machsheret. So even though that's only an oikimta, Shammai felt we should be geyser, and the Talmidim of Shammai, Talmidim of Hill felt the same way. Rabba says, "Gzeirim mishum anoishches." It chapen afkemina. What would be if somebody has a bunch of grapes and they're clustered together? Now, when you tear them apart, inevitably some juices are going to come out. When those juices come out, those juices have the ability to be machshel lekabel tumah, even if it was not nichale. Now, what's the reason? So this is already a lumbus, Rashi says. It's actually a hilchas Shabbos lumbus. It's based on the concept of psik resha, and that is that there's a nafkamina in Mesachtas Machshirin between where a person, be a dayim, made the food wet, or the food became wet on its own, and it's merely nichale of the bailim that it is wet. Meaning, where it happens on its own, then you need rotzen. But if you go and you take a mashkin, you put it on top of your food, you could be screaming and shrying that you don't want it. It doesn't matter. You did it. When you take two grapes that are together and you rip them apart, causing mashkin to come out, you now be your dayin caused it to happen. Now, you're going to tell me, what do you mean? That's not true. My maisa was just a maisa of ripping apart the peiros. I never made it wet. But being that it was inevitable that it was going to be wet, so it's called a psikresha. So in the world of maisa, it's not considered davish enem eschaben, it's called a psikresha. So we look at it as a psikresha, meaning you had kavana to do it. You did it be a dayim. That's the punchline. Not kavana. You did it be a dayim. So being that you did it be a dayim, so it doesn't matter whether it was nichalei or noy nichalei. Now, that's only a hechatimtza. I guess it's not necessarily always so common that a person, while he's harvesting his grapes, would be ripping them apart. But gzeru mishum anoishchos, it could happen. So it was because of that the Chachamim felt they had to make a gzeru. Rav Nachman said, Rabbi Baravu, in the name Rabbi Ravu, the reason the Chachamim made this gzeru is because what happens if a person wants to harvest his field, but he's not 100% sure if the grapes are ready to be harvested? So what will he sometimes do? He may take some grapes, he may squeeze them on top of the other grapes. Now those grapes for sure will be hokshel lekabel tumah. Here it wasn't just a psik resha. Here he squeezed it. He wanted to taste the wine. He wanted to see, are we ready or are we not ready? Now, ubeshas ptsira adayim mashke toifei achalem. What's that hoysafa? That hoysafa is that the only time something is hukshel lekabel tumah is when it's talish. If it's mechubel karka, it's not able to be hukshel lekabel tumah. So the concern is that you may do this while it's talish, I mean, while it's mechuber, but then you'll be toilish it, and while you when you're toilish it, it's still going to be toifeach, meaning it's still going to be wet. The point is, you may do it b'yadayim, so there's a whole bunch of maybe somewhat far-fetched scenarios, but at the end of the day, you're right. In the classic example of aboitza legas, Hillel was seemingly right, that there's no reason that mashkin that comes out of the peiros should be considered mashkin that would be machshir lekabel tumah. However, there are a whole bunch of scenarios where it could be an issue. That's why Shammai told Hillel, I disagree with you, Hillel. And the Talmidim of Shammai, Talmidim of Hillel eventually were able to institute it. Shammai and Hillel couldn't. The Talmidim of Shammai, Talmidim of Hillel were able to. And therefore, this goes down as one of the machloikises between Shammai and Hillel. If you remember, there were three machloikises between Shammai and Hillel, the three that I mentioned in the beginning of Masechtas Idias, and then the other two that for whatever reason are not part of that number. It was really Shloisha Shehin Chamisha. It was three that is five. This was one of those five. This is also one of the Yud Ches Dvarim. Says the Gemara V'idach. What's the next one? Amar Tavi Rishpa Amar Shmuel. So Tavi, who was a tzayid, Tavi the hunter, said in the name of Shmuel, Afkidule Truma, Truma Bay Bayim Gazer. The halach is, if somebody has Truma, and then he sticks it in the ground, he replants his Truma. So what's the halacha? What grows from that now? Is it considered a Truma, or is it not considered Truma? Is it considered Truma, or is it not considered Truma? So the halach is, that Midai Rice is not considered Truma. Midai Rabbanon, however, it is considered Truma. When would the Rabbanon guys of this? Oh, this is the next one of the Yud Ches Dvarim. Afke Dulei Truma, Truma, Bay Bayim Gazer. So my time, why the Chama made this Gzeru? If Midai Rice, so it shouldn't be considered Truma, so why the Chama made this Gzeru? Amar Rab Chanina said, Gzeru Mishom Truma Tahira, but Yad Yisro, because they were afraid that a Yid that has Truma, and he doesn't want to give the Truma to a Kayin. Now he can't eat it, so what are you going to do with it? He says, aha, I have an Eitzah. I can make a business out of it. I can take my Truma, I can stick it back in the ground, I can plant it all over again, and as a result, things are going to grow. So to prevent that from happening, the Chabam said, Gedulei Truma is treated like Truma. Amar Rab Chanina said, I don't understand. Amar Rava said, Idich Shidi Lahachi, if you worry that Yidden are going to do this, Afushin Namid Lai Lifreshu, then they won't even be Mafras Truma. What do you mean? You have to be Mafras Truma. No, because given that Shalom Evet Chita Achas, Kedah Shmuel, you can always do what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, Chita Achas, Paiteres, Esakri. All you need is one Chita. Right? Meiser is defined, 10%, right? There's numbers, there's percentages. But over here, there's no numbers, there's no percentages. So what's the big deal? It's so easy to circumvent Truma. So this yid, if he really doesn't want to give truma, so he has to go through the headache of planting, he just won't be mafresh truma, says the Gemara. And from the fact of like of it, he didn't do it. It's almost like a migo. So trust him that he's not going to do this either. So I don't know. Once the person goes ahead and he was mafresh truma like a mensch, then you should give him the benefit of the doubt. You don't have to make a gzeir of gidule truma. El Gemara says you're right. Gzeir mishum truma tmei biakoy. We weren't worried about the Yisrael. You know what we're worried about? We're worried about the koyin. The koyin, he has truma, he's allowed to eat the truma. Yeah, but he can't eat truma tmeya. Now, he's allowed to have hanah from truma tmeya, but he can't eat the truma tmeya. So usually, if a koyin has truma and it becomes tamei, it comes with an invoice. It's a financial loss for him. So what we're concerned is that this person who has truma tmeya, he doesn't want to incur the loss. So what may he do? He may decide to plant it. Okay. Why is that the end of the world? Because maybe this will happen when it's not the planting season yet. He's going to keep it around until the planting season. To have truma tmeya lying around your house is considered a takala. It's considered dangerous. Also, the takala. That's what the chachamim said. You plant the truma. It's not negay anyways. So as a result, the truma tmeya will be tamay. The truma tahira will be regular truma. It's all midrabanan. It's not midday raisa. It's all to prevent something like this happening, says the Gemara V'idach. What's the next one? It gets a little bit lighter. From here, Amr Rabbi Barami Mishmeid Ula. So Rabbi Barami said the name of Ula. Af Misha Hechshech Loi Baderech. Actually, a Mishnah. The Masechta Shabbos, at the very, very end of the Masechta. So the Mishnah discusses a person who's outside and it's Shabbos and he realizes he's carrying his wallet. So, it could happen. Right, so Misha Hechshech Loi Baderech and he realizes he has his wallet. So what's he allowed to do? Noisin Kisa Lanach, he's allowed to tell a guy. And Amir Ula Akum can address it. Now, usually Amir Lakim is not so simple. It's a shvus, says the Gemara, but being that it was only a derabbanon, and over here they were afraid that if we wouldn't allow him to give it to an Eini Yehudi, a person's not just going to let his whole life go away. So he may come to Mechal Shabbos. So the Chachamim said it makes sense to forego the shvus of Amir Lakim because of these extenuating circumstances. When did the Chachamim make this takana? Boy, bayoyim gazru. This was another one of the Yud Chesvam. Says the Marvi, what's the next one? And this next one is probably the most famous. Amar Bali, Amar Avimi Sanvosa.
Piton, Vishamnon, Vienam Uvnoiseyem, Kulam Mishmoina Asadovarhe, Pas Akum, Shemen Akum, Yayin Akum, also known as Stam Yenam, and Oivde Kechavim, meaning non-Jewish women, Kulon, they're all Aser, and it's all Mishmoina Asadovar. So the Gemara interrupts. One second. Hanichel Rab Meir, we're going to get back to the Gemara, is going to clarify that in a minute. Gemara says for now, Hanichel Rab Meir, that according to Rab Meir, it all worked out. Meaning, according to Rab Meir, based on what we just said, we have 18. Again, we'll speak this out after we finish the Gemara. El Rab Yossi, Shav Sri Havya, but according to Rab Yossi, really it's only 17. So the Gemara says, No Ikahadar of Achabar Adad, Omer of Achabar Adad, Omer of Yitzchak, Gazru al Piton, Mishum Shamnon, Val Shamnon, Mishum Yenon. Again, the Gemara is interrupting. This will all come together in a moment. The Chumim made a gzeri. They said, Pas Akum is Aser, because they were worried that if you'd eat Pas Akum, you'd eat Shemen Akum. And then they said, Shemen Akum is Aser, meaning Hagufa, why is Shemen Akum Aser? Because they were worried, Mishum Stam Yenam. So the Gemara says, Al Pita Mishum Shamnon, just interrupting, they were going around Pas because of Shemen. My Oyu the Shemen of Pas. Why is Shemen more than Pas? Meaning, it sounds like Shemen was for sure Aser. Pas is a gzeri Mishum Shemen. Why would Shemen be more Aser than Pas? Whoever decided to be Geyser on Shemen should have decided to be Geyser on Shemen also. Elo, Gazra, Pita, Misham, Mishum Yenam. You have to read it, is he right? Chama will Geyser on Pas and Shemen at the same time, and they did a Mishum Yenam. They were worried that if you're going to eat Pasakum and Shemen Akum, you may come also to eat Yayanakum. Val Yenam, why did Chama make a Geyser on Yayanakum? Mishum Noisehem. It was related to Bnoisehem, because they were afraid that if you would drink the wine of a guy, you may end up marrying a guy. Val Bnoisehem, why did Chavim say that the Bas Akum is Aser? Mishum Davarachar. They said that that's Aser because of a Davarachar, as she says, Avoid the Zara. Val Davarachar, and Hogufa, and there was another Davarachar that they were going to Mishum Davarachar. So the Gemara says, what's that Davarachar? That's Aser Mishum Davarachar. Omrev Nachim by Yitzchah, Gozru al Tinoik Nachri, Shemetame Beziva. They were going to that a Tinoik Nachri should also be Tame Beziva. Meaning, we just had Bnois Kudim. Those are the girls. They're nidos me'ari sasan. The same is true regarding the boys. A boy can't be a nida, but a boy could be a zav. So they were goyzer that a tinuk nachri should be metame bezav. Why? Shleihei tinuk yisrael rogel etzav b'mishkav zachar. They were afraid. They didn't want any tinuk yisrael should be next to these non-Jewish children. They were afraid of mishkav zachar. So the bottom line is this that's what they were goyzer. So the point is, says the Gemara, that in cheshbon, if according to Rabbi Yossi, you're going to be missing one, you know what the last one is? They were geyser on the tinoik nachri sheb b'metame b'ziva. So the Gemara says, once again, ihachi, if that's one of the yudches dvarim, del rameir nami tish sri havion, then going back to rameir, you have one extra one, or rameir doesn't agree with this, so then according to rameir, you have 19. We thought we had 17 according to Rabbi Yossi, this was the 18th. Now, once we have this according to Rabbi Yossi, the churit should work according to rameir also, and if that's the case according to rameir, you should have 19th. So the Gemara says, oichlim b'kenel shenitbu b'mashkim b'chadach hashavlo. Going back to the Mishnah Masechta Zavim that mentioned 9. So we till now took for granted that it was 9. 9 examples of Sheni Latoma. Says the Gemara, could be according to Ramei, it's really only 8. How's it going to be 8? Because you have Oichlim, the Kalim, Shenit, Bumba, Mashkin. Two of them were related to Tumas Mashkin. One was the Chiddish that Tumas Mashkin is always a Rishon Latoma. The second one was Tumas Mashkin, which is a Rishon Latoma, has an ability to be Metama Kalim, which is a Chiddish, because usually only an Avatoma can be Metama Kalim. Those two, which we thought were two, maybe really would only be considered one exhale. So either way, the Gemara really spent a lot of time on the first of the Yud Ches Dvarim, and then we just had now a very short Amid Gemara where the Gemara seemed to knock out the rest of the list. Now the truth is that if you go through the list of the Yud Ches Dvarim, the ones that the Gemara just added right now, we'll do it in a moment. What's going to emerge is that we're really missing two. Meaning, after all the cheshbonos that we just made, we're going to make the cheshbon, we're missing two. And really, the short answer to that is that how did the whole sugya start? Right, why are we talking about the Yud Ches Dvarim? Because we had a Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said, Lo yikru lo oira ner, lo yifalu kelim lo oira ner. And the Gemara brought a braisa that said that, or it was really, that these were from the Yud Ches Dvarim. The elu min ha-halacha she'amru ba'aliyas Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garim, meaning they were from the Yud Ches Dvarim. So really, ein koirin la'iraner, the ein filin la'iraner are two of the Yud Ches Dvarim. So when you take those two, and you take the 9 in the Mishnah Masechta Zavim, and some of the ones that the Gemara spent more time on, and some of the ones that the Gemara spent less time on, you're going to end up with 18. So what exactly are the 18? So we're going to go through the way Rashi says, it's a very short Rashi right here in the Omid, so go through the cheshbon of the 18, the way Rashi explains it. So again, let's go through this again. You have the 9 of the Mishnah Masechta Zavim.
What were they again? If somebody eats food that's a Rishon Latoma, he becomes a Sheni Latoma. If somebody eats food that's a Sheni Latoma, he becomes a Sheni Latoma. If someone drinks Mashkin that's Tomei, Mashkin is always a Rishon Latoma. If someone drinks Mashkin that's Tomei, he becomes a Sheni Latoma. If someone went to the mikveh because he was Tomei, and then after he went to the mikveh, he still was Tful Yoim, it wasn't Erev Shemesh yet, he was Bar Roshay Verubay B'mayim Sheuvim, he becomes a Sheni Latoma. Someone that's tired, you go to the mikveh. Naflu al Roshay Verubay Shloishalugim Mayim Sheuvim, what's Talacha? Becomes a Sheni Latoma. The Choftalit Sifrei Tanach HaMetama, Sheni Latoma. Yodayim, Stam Yodayim, Askon Yosef, Sheni Latoma. Oichlin and Kalim Shenitmu B'mashkin, which Pashtis are two. The Gemara said, according to Rabbi Yossi, maybe it would only be one. According to Rabbi Meir, maybe it would be one. You have to work to figure out the Cheshbon according to which Tanah. But the Pashtis, that's two. And Tumas Mashkin, that it's always treated like a Rishon Latoma. And Tumas Mashkin, that has an ability, even Matama Kalim, that would be number nine. Okay. Number 10, Ein Koirin La'or Haner. Number 11, Ein Foilin La'or Haner. You're not allowed to learn La'or Haner on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to check clothing for lice on Shabbos. The Tzinar, the case where it was a cloudy day, and then it became a nice day, and then it became a cloudy day again, and somebody left a keli underneath a pipe, and it started raining, and the question is, does the water that enters that keli that's underneath the pipe become mayim she'uvim, so that three lugam of it would pass on a mikveh, if the mikveh was chaser? That's the 12th. The mardeya, that's what we started this morning's daf with, the mardeya that is only one third of a tefach thick, but the circumference is a tefach that has an ability to be metama in the event that it's on a person at the same time while it's being mile over a mace. Benois kutim nidois me'arusase, Rashi says. That would be number 14. Number 15 is a boitza legas, which was originally a machleke Shammai v'Hillel. Shammai won, and then eventually it became one of the yudches dvarim. Gidulei truma. Gidulei truma has a din of truma, but it's only midrabanon. Mishe hichshech loy baderech. That's the next one. And then finally, the 18th one is Piton, the Shamnon, the Yenom. Even though the Gemara seemed to, it was a little confusing. Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? Rashi says that it's all one. And that whole group is treated like one, and that would be the 18th. Now you can go through the sugya, and based on Rav Tarfin, Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, that it could be it's going to play out a little bit differently. But either way, this is the way Rashi says it right here. Rashi Sikum Adaf Yizayin Amadeis. And that's the Sikum that we're going to go with. Just one interesting ha'ara before we get into the raid. And that is that notice the Gemara mentions Pas Akum, Shemen Akum, and Stam Yenom. Which one is noticeably missing? Cholav Akum, exactly. Cholav Akum is the one that's missing, right? And the truth is, people make this mistake because I've seen quoted, Cholav Akum is one of the Yud Ches Dvarim. And as we'll see soon, if it's one of the Yud Ches Dvarim, it would make it a lot more chomer than it really is. But it's a mistake. It's not one of the Yud Ches Dvarim. It doesn't say anywhere Cholav Akum when it comes to the Yud Ches. It says Pas, it says Shemen, it says Yain. And the truth is, if you learn the Sugis and Mesachtes Avodah Zarah, you'll know it's a mistake. Why? Because why would the Chachamim Goyzer on Pas Akum and Shemen Akum? The Gemara just said it was all Mishum B'nai Sayem, Mishum Davaracha, Davaracha, Mishum Davaracha. It's all related to Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis. That's what it's related to. Why is Cholav Akum Asa? Cholav Akum is Asa is because we're concerned that the milk that you're drinking might not be kosher milk. In fact, Cholav Shechol Vayakum Yisrael Rayeyu is okay. Because as long as you see the Ene Yehudi milking it, it's not going to be a problem. Pas Akum is not because we're not sure if the bread is kosher. Shemen Akum is not because you're concerned the Shem, what the oil is not kosher. What is it? What's kosher oil or not kosher oil? Cholav is a concern. Did it come from a kosher animal? Did it not come from a kosher animal? And nothing to do with Mishum B'nai Seyem, and nothing to do with Mishum Avodah Zarah. So it's sometimes misquoted as being one of the Yud Ches Dvarim. And you could see why somebody would make the mistake. You have half of Masechtas Avodah Zarah right here in four lines tucked away. Shabbos Yud Zayin on the base, but it's a mistake. Cholav Akum is related to Exera because we're concerned that the milk might not be Tomei. Which one was the Yud Ches Dvarim? It was Pas, it was Shemen, and Pashtus, it was Yayin as well. Either way, this is the short version of the abridged version, the Daf Yomi edition version of the Yud Ches Dvarim. And the truth is that the Yud Ches Dvarim take up a very prominent place in Torah, in Torah Shebaal Peh. And the truth is, it's a mefurish Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav Amar Aleph, Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Bechol Yochel Levatol Bezdin, Divrei Bezdin Chaveroi. So we know there's rules and regulations. When if one Bezdin issues a decree, can another Bezdin come and override that decree? Can they not? God Omimeno Bechachma, Binyan, the Rambam talks about it in Perek Beis Hilchas Mamrim, and the Rambam has a whole bunch of categories and subcategories, right? The Rambam feels that there's no reason a later Bezdin can't argue with an earlier Bezdin. If the earlier Bezdin based its halacha on a drasha, and that's what the Kesef Mishnah asks his famous kasha, he says, if that's the case, why can't Amiram argue with the Tanam? Why not? The Tanam said a drasha, the later Amiram decided to argue. But there's a whole bunch of rules that govern when a later Bezdin could argue with an earlier Bezdin, when they can't argue with an earlier Bezdin. But there was one halacha that Rabbi Bar Bachana said in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan. He said, that whole Rambam and Perek Beis Hilchas Mamrim, that's all true, but there's one exception to all of this, and that is Bachol Yochel Levatul Bezdin, Divrei Bezdin Chaveri, Chutz Mishmoina Asa Davar, with the exception of the Yud Ches Dvarim, Shafilu Yavei Eliyahu Beis Dinai, Ein Shoyim Eloi. Even if Eliyahu HaNavi and his Bezdin would come, they would try to be Mevatul, they would say, Pasachim's not Asa anymore. You're dying, you don't have to wash your hands before Netilas Yadayim anymore. It doesn't matter. Even if Eliyahu HaNavi's Bezdin would come, Tishbi Yataritz Kushis V'Abayas, it doesn't matter. The halacha would be that Ein Bezdin Yachal Levatul Divrei Bezdin Chaveri. So you see that this is something that's very, very prominent. And in fact, once upon a time, this was something that people knew. People actually, they were able to recite the Yud Ches Dvarim. Somebody told me that he read a story in a sefer that was written by a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was a Holocaust survivor, and he was in Auschwitz. And he writes in the Hakdamah to his sefer that when he was in Auschwitz, there was a Yid, and one of the people that were there with him, and he had a little bit of bread. And he went over to him, he said, Rabbi Yid, I'm starving, could you give me a little bit of bread? And this Yid was a Talmud Chacham, and he said he was able to see that he was talking to a Ben Torah. So he looked at him and he told him, Vilsta Bissel Bright? He says, yeah, I need a little bit of bread. He said, I'll tell you what, if you can recite the Yud Ches Dvarim, I'll give you a little bit of bread. So once upon a time, a Yid knew how to recite the Yud Ches Dvarim. So what are the Yud Ches Dvarim? This is what we just learned right now. But I'm going to tell you something interesting before we get into the raid. We're still not up to the raid. But just one, something interesting before we get into the raid. And that is, if you take a look at the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayis, we don't have time to go through this properly. But if you take a look at the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayis, the Rambam makes a mapecha. The Rambam had a whole different sugya. The Rambam didn't have the same sugya as Rashi. Till now, we've been learning this is the Yud Ches Dvarim. What were the Yud Ches Dvarim? 18 points that the Talmidim of Shammai and the Talmidim of Hillel argued about. Nimnu v'gomru, and they decided that the halacha is going to be like B'Shammai. You know what the Rambam says? You know what the Rambam says? The Rambam says there were Yud Ches Dvarim, and there were another Yud Ches Dvarim, and there were another Yud Ches Dvarim. It was Yud Ches times three. In fact, there were 54 Dvarim. There were three sets of Yud Ches Dvarim. There were, says the Rambam, what do you mean? There were three sets of Yud Ches Dvarim. He says there were Yud Ches Dvarim that boy by yoim they decided it's going to be the halacha, and there was no machlokes. There was no machlokes between Shammai, Mesilu. They both agreed, Nimnu v'gomru ki ish echad b'leiv echad, that this is the way it's going to be. Then there were the Yud Ches Dvarim where they were arguing. Nimnu v'gomru, they voted and they decided that the halacha is going to be like B'Shammai. He says, then there were another Yud Ches Dvarim where there was a machlokes in B'Shammai, B'Shammai, and for whatever reason, Ayin, Lashon, Rambam, they never voted and they never were able to determine and they were never able to decide what the hachra is going to be. So there were 18 Dvarim that they passed, and this is the way it is. And then there were 18 Dvarim where there was a machlokes, and it was only afterwards, Nimnu v'gomru, they voted. Shammai was derived, and they went like Beis Shammai, and then there were Yud Ches Dvarim that, for whatever reason, was never reconciled. And the truth is, the makar to the Rambam is a Gemara in Daf Tes Vav Amar Aleph, two lines from the top, smack in the middle of the sugi of the Yud Ches Dvarim. Gufa Amar Rav Yudah Mashmu, Yud Ches Gozru. Now, when we learned the Gemara the way Rashi explains the word, the Pashim Shad in the Gemara. It was the same Yud Ches. The Yud Ches that they were Nechleku was the Yud Ches that they were Gazru. But the Rambam understood Kenira the Gemara differently. The Gemara understood, no, the Rambam understood there were the Yud Ches that they were Gazru and the Yud Ches they were Nechleku. And by the way, there were another Yud Ches where they're still Nechleku, Adaye Mazeh, it was never resolved. And if you look in the Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayis, he goes through all 54. He goes through all three sets of the Yud Ches. The one thing that's interesting in the Rambam is that the Rambam says that when the Gemara says lo yikru lo iraner v'lo yafalu lo iraner the elu min halachos che amru ba'aliyas chananya mechizki ben garu, it was from the Yud Ches Dvarim, says Rambam, it was from the Yud Ches Dvarim. but not from the Yudches Dvarim, where it was Nimnu Vagomer that the Halacha was like Beishamai. It was from the Yudches Dvarim that there was never a machlokes about, that Beishamai Besul came together. So whereas Rashi had one set of Yudches Dvarim, so when Rashi makes his Sikum in Andaf Yitzayim Abayz that we didn't go through properly, but when Rashi, we have time, but when Rashi makes his Sikum, so Rashi says that, by the way, you should know those two are clearly from these Yudches, and Rashi has to work it in. The Rambam never worked it into these Yudches. The Rambam says it's not part of these Yudches. This Yudches is one cheshbon, that Yudches is another cheshbon. So it's a whole limud, it's a Torah shleimah to figure out which are the Yudches. Machlik is Rambam and Rashi, but fascinating. So you always think of the Yudches Dvarim. According to the Rambam, there were three sets of Yudches Dvarim. But the truth is that as it relates to the Yudches Dvarim, there's a very important part of, the very important piece of Jewish history that has to be understood. And it's not mefurish anywhere in Talmud Bavli, it's mefurish in Talmud Yerushalmi. But before that, just one introduction. And that is, there's a very interesting siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's an Eruch Chaim, it's siman Tov Kuf Peh. The name of the siman is Yomim Shem Mesanim Bahem. So in the beginning of the sugya, the Yudches Dvar, we spoke about Megillas Tainus. What's Megillas Tainus? These are days that you're not allowed to fast. Some of them you're not even allowed to have a hesped. That's Megillas Tainus. These were happy days, days where Klal Yisrael had tzaras, but then they were redeemed from those tzaras. And as a result, asur lisanus b'hayim. You're not allowed to fast on those days. This is a siman in Shulchan Aruch that's the antithesis of that. It's in Hilchas Tainus, Yomim Shem Misanim b'hayim. And it's a long sif in Shulchan Aruch. It's actually three seifim. It's fascinating. There's some very interesting marim mekoymis and yediyos, klolios, that come out of this halach in Shulchan Aruch. One of the dates that the Mechaber says is Tes Adar. On Tes Adar, a Yid is not allowed to fast. I'm sorry, Yid has to fast. On Tes Adar, a Yid has to fast. Before that, he says Zayin Adar, because Meis Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom. And then Tes Adar, you know why? Because Boi Nechleku B'Shamay B'Sil. On Tes Adar, there was a machloikis between B'Shamay and B'Sil. I mean that there was a machloikis between B'Shamay and B'Sil. It's for that reason, that's Yomim Shem Misanim B'Hem. That's the day that you're supposed to fast. And the truth is, at first glance, it's Sarach Pir, what the Mechaber is referring to. That was the day there was a machloikis between B'Shamay and B'Sil. B'Shamay and B'Sil argued for generations. We know the Gemara in Erev, in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, we always speak it out in the Daf. 3 years, Elu, they said Halacha Kumeisenu, they said Halacha Kumeisenu, until there was a Paschal that said Elu Ve'elu Divrei Lekim Chayim. Now we can find the Machlokes B'Sham Yisrael to one day. I mean, here we thought it went hundreds of years. Then we had the Gemara in Erevin for 3 years that we needed raid from the Teres Chaim in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel, and Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Gilvayon Hashas, and then the first parak of Masachtis Yevamos, and the Ruggage of a Goyin, that fascinating piece that we spoke about with Reva Echos and Reva Kams. Here we have one day. We pinned down the whole Machloikis between B'Shamim Yisrael to one day. What day? Tes Adar. And Tes Adar for Doris and Yid is supposed to fast because Boy Nechliku B'Shamim and B'Sil. But the Bahag says, you know, Pshat in this halach is. Says the Baal Hilchos Gedoyla is, you know what the pshat in this Messiah is, that a Yid fast on Tes Adar. Because that wasn't just the day that B'Sham Yisrael argued. That was the day. That was the day that the Talmidim of Shammai and Talmidim of Hillel were in the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin. That was the day when the Machlokes B'Sham Yisrael started. That wasn't just a day, a chapter. That was chapter 1, verse 1. That's when it all began. The machloikis between B'Shamay and B'Sil began in the Aliyah of Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin. And the truth is, in order to properly appreciate this, Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin was a contemporary of Hillel and Shammai. So just to understand that this happened, I don't know if Hillel and Shammai were alive at this time or not. It sounds like they weren't, but it certainly happened right around the same time. You know, we mentioned yesterday from the Meiri Seder HaKabbalah, his Akdama to Pirkei Avos, and how he goes through that. There are certain tkufas in the Tanam that we know very little about. But he says, don't be fooled by that. Just because we don't know that much about what happened during those tkufas, there were many, many Tanom that lived there. For whatever reason, they weren't mentioned. So we spoke about the Tkufa of Antignos Eshsoichai and the Tkufa of Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yoichanan. I'm continuing in the Seder HaKabbalah. He says, Ubemei Shmaya v'Avtalyon, in the times of Shmaya and Avtalyon, hoyo min ha-nimtze mimon ha-kavya ben mehalalo v'chanin v'ramiyasho v'admon. Ubezman hil v'shami, that was the next door, hoyo min ha-nimtze mimon b'nei b'seira u'menachem u'ben bag. For Rav Pepayas, the Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin, Unechunya ben Akana, Ubava ben Buta, Rabbi Yochanan ben Achurani, Rabbi Gamliel Azokin, Venochem Alavler, Vyonis ben Azil, Vahu Hochel Chabo Sefer Vu Targum ben Avim. Chananya ben Chizkiv ben Goron was a contemporary of Hillel and Shammai. That means picture approximately 100 years before the Churban. That's when this all took place. So Hillel and Shammai, they lived at the same dar. So this was right after Hillel and Shammai passed away. And all of a sudden, we have a machloikas between the Talmid of Shammai and the Talmid of Hillel. And again, appreciate the fact that the first machloikas ever was in the dar of Yosef ben Yoyezer or Yosef ben Yoichanan regarding Smicha. It was the only machloikas until Hillel and Shammai came and they argued about three things, maybe five. And then right here, you have 18, according to the Rambam. It's more than 18. But the point is, this is when machloikas started. Okay. Here's the Yerushalmi. Zok to Yerushalmi. And it's right here in Masechta Shabbos. It's in Perek Yetzias HaShabbos. Regarding the day that the Talmidim of Shammai, Talmidim of Hillel were in the attic of Chananya ben Chizki ben Garen. Oisei ayoyim ha-yukoshel Yisrael, says the Yerushalmi, ki yoyim shenasa ba-yo-egel. Now our Gemara said it, but what did the Gemara say it about? The Gemara said it about Shammai and Hillel regarding Boitzel Agas. The Yerushalmi is talking about the Talmidim of Shammai and the Talmidim of Hillel. It's talking about the Oisei Ayoyim. It's talking about the Yudches Dvarim. Oisei Ayoyim HaYukosha LeYisrael Ki Yoyim Shenasa Bayeigel. How bad was it? Says the Gemara Tana. Rabbi Shua Unyo Talmidim Shammai Omdu Lehem Milmata for Yohargim B'Talmidim B'Hillel. How did they resolve this dispute? They resolved it with a vote. So you know what the Talmidim of Shammai did? They wanted to make sure that they were going to outvote the Talmidim of Hillel. So they were standing, literally, they were killing Talmidim of Hillel. It's a mashma from the Yerushalmi. There were six people maybe that died. But the point is, there was Shfichas Dovim that took place on that day. You can understand that why Oysa Ayyam was Kosher Kiyam Shanasaba Yaegel. And you could understand, based on that, why this is a day that you would fast. This wasn't just a day. This is a day where Mamish had Ritzicha, yet Shvichas Damim. This is what was going on over here. It's a Mefurish Yerushalmi. There was Mamash Shvichas Damim. But I'm going to tell you what the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer says that no. The reason this day was Kosher Kiyom Shenasa Bayeigel has nothing to do with the fact that there was Shvichas Damim on that. The Shvichas Damim is terrible. It's sad, it's horrible, but that's not Egel. Egel? I mean, you think of Egel. Egel's have like the Zora. At Maimer Ar Sinai, Aluva Kala Shezin Satachas Chupasa, says the Gemara. That's the Chet the Eagle is the Kala was Mezana in the Chupa. That's what the Eagle was. So that wasn't the Eagle. How did that become the Eagle? So it says the Chassam Sofer, and it's in Parashas Shoiftim, if you want to look it up in Tiras Moshe. He says that what does it have to do with the Yom Shenasa by Eagle? He says the Pshat Zazoy. He says because the Gemara says in Masechtas Soita Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis that when the Talmidim of Shammai and Talmidim of Hillel started arguing, all of a sudden there was Shikchas HaTorah. And there were two Torahs. There was a tremendous divide. There was the camp of Beis Shammai and there was the camp of Beis Hillel. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's the Oymek. The Gemara says in Masechtas Erevin, Daf Nun Dalet Amid Aleph, Umoi Nishtabra Aluchos, had the Luchos not been destroyed, there would have been no Nishtakcha Torah Yisrael. No Yid would have ever forgotten Torah. Meaning, Shviras HaLuchos is what caused Shikchas HaTorah. What caused Shviras HaLuchos? The eagle. Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he saw the chet eagle and he broke the luchos. Vashabrim le'neihem. So says the Chassam Sofer, you want to know the mashal? Why we're comparing Oisei Ayoyim Kiyom Shenasa Vayegel? It's not because they were fighting, and it's not because there was machlekes even necessarily, and it's not because of the Shvichas Domim even. It's because there was Shikchas HaTorah. That's the reason. The reason is because there was Shikchas HaTorah. And the ego led to Shikchas HaTorah, because the ego led to Shviras HaLuchos. The Shviras HaLuchos led to Shikchas HaTorah, like the Gemara says in Erevin and Dalet Amid Aleph. And it's for that reason we compare it to the Yom Shenasa Bayegel. You know, the Chassam Sofer talks about this in another place. He talks about it in Masechtas Sedarim Daf Samech Vav. That shtickle in the Sedarim Samech Vav we spoke about once. We spoke about it in Masechtas Krisus Daf Chav Hei, the Gemara about Bava Ben Buta, a classic, epic piece from the Chassam Sofer, Ve'inkam Mekoyme Meharach. And at the end of that shtickle, this was a piece that I don't think we had time to speak out then. He says something unbelievable. He says, Ure'e Pella. He says, take a look at something amazing. He says, there were two tkufas during Bayesheni where the Beis HaMikdash seemed to have been knocking. Number one, or it got a tremendous chizik. The beginning of Bayesheni. Bayesheni, there was no Beis HaMikdash, it was destroyed. The beginning of Bayesheni, they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. And then towards the end of Bayesheni, Hurdis went, and he put a lot of money into the Beis HaMikdash. So much so, Chazal say, Kosh le'ro Beis Hurdis, le'ro Bayes no me'olam. Right, he made the Beis HaMikdash unbelievably beautiful. Says the Chassam Sofer, we know, Ki mitzien teitzei soira, udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. So you would think, based on that, those two times in history would be times where there was an unbelievable ribuy of Torah. We just rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. Hordes just put all this money, renovated the Beis HaMikdash. He made it look absolutely gorgeous. So you would think, based on this, that the Beis HaMikdash should look unbelievably beautiful. Stating that, Chazal says the Chasam Sofer wasn't like that. You know what happened in the beginning of Bayesheni? In the beginning of Bayesheni, says the Chasam Sofer, we know we lost Nevuah. When did we lose Nevuah? Right in the beginning of Bayesheni. Chagis Chayim Malach with the last three Nevim. We lost Nevuah in the beginning of Bayesheni. Precisely at the time that we built the Beis HaMikdash, where there was a chizik in Kibitzi and Teitze Yisrael Dvar Shem Yerushalayim, we lost Nevuah. You know what happened when Hordes rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash? You know what happened when he put all his money into the second Beis HaMikdash? Hordes was a contemporary of Hillel v'Shammai. Hillel v'Shammai's Talmidim, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, in the attic of Chananya, Mechizkiah, Ben Gorin, they started fighting. Listen to the Lashon of the Chasam Sofer. U'miyom she'nivne binyan ha'befur al yidei Hordes, ha'eved, oz nechleku Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, v'nasa toira ka'alpayim toiros, b'avoy nesenu ha'ravim. It became mamish like thousands of toiros. It's unbelievable. Not two. Ka'alpayim. It's amazing. He says, how is that possible? So he says something very, very scary. He says, because it was Yad Oivle Kechavim Be'emtza. He says, because Kimitzi and Teitze Soyrud Var Hashem Yerushalayim, that's when the Yidden build the Beis HaMikdash. But who gave the Yidden permission to build the second Beis HaMikdash? It came through the Persian government. He said, who put all this money into Bayesheni towards the end of Bayesheni? It was Herod. It was a Russia. It was Yad Oivle Kechavim Be'emtza. And being that it was Yad Oivle Kechavim Be'emtza, not only didn't it have the effect it was supposed to have, it actually had a counter effect. Not only wasn't it Kimitzi and Teitzei Soir with Var Hashem Yerushalayim, but to the contrary, we went down a Madrega. We lost Nevuah in the beginning of Bayesheni. It was Nasa Torah Ka'alpayim Torahs. But listen just to L'shoinei Hazav, Masich Lefitume, how the Chasam Sofer described this Tkufa of Chananya ben Chizkiah ben Gorin. Oz Nechleku Beishamai Ubeisilil V'Nasa Torah Ka'alpayim Torahs Bavay Nesenu Arabim. And it was that Alpayim Torahs Bavay Nesenu Arabim that led to a Shikchas HaTorah, and it was the Shikchas HaTorah, says the Chasam Sofer in Parsha Shoftim, that's Kiyom Shanasa Bayegel, because the eagle triggered Shikchas HaTorah, and this triggered Shikchas HaTorah as well. But I just want to end with one Ha'ara. Just one Ha'ara, some food for thought. And that is, everybody knows the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Kol machloikes shi l'shem shamayim, soifel iskayim. V'chol machloikes she'ene l'shem shamayim, ain't soifel iskayim. Ezoit machloikes shi l'shem shamayim, zu machloikes hil v'shamayim. V'she'ene l'shem shamayim, zu machloikes koirach v'chol adosai. The machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is the quintessential. It is literally the textbook example here in Pirkei Avos of a machloikas shi l'shem shamayim. And Chazal say a machloikas shi l'shem shamayim is soifel iskayim. It's only machloikas that's not l'shem shamayim, like koirach v'adosoy, that's ain't soifel iskayim. That means Chazal were made that the machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was a machloikas l'shem shamayim. It was a machloikas l'shem shamayim. Now, how do you reconcile that with the shvichas damim that the Yerushalmi describes? I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, there has to be a teretz, and there is a teretz. It's a mishnah. It's a machloikas l'shem shamayim. So think about it. Here you have a machloikas that's l'shem shamayim. Soifel l'skayim. And look what came about from this machloikas. You had shikchas ha-toyrah, kiyem shenasa boy ego, two Torahs, that's the Lashon of the Gemara, in Masech Tesoitim and Zayin and Mebeis. We always speak out the Mesilas Hasharim and Perek Chav. The Chasam Sofer's Lashon in the Dorim Samech Vav, it became Ka'alpayim Torahs, literally. And this came about through a machloikas shi l'shem. So how do you understand it? If it was l'shem shamayim, why did this all happen? If it was l'shaloi l'shem shamayim, I understand. We know how terrible machloikas is, but this is a machloikas shi l'shem shamayim. Machloikas shi l'shem shamayim is supposed to be soifel iskayim. So I found the Marsha asks the Kasha. He doesn't ask it, but he mentions it. The Marsha is a Masech Tesoitim daf mem zayin amid beis. Just one excerpt from the Marsha. See, he says like this: V'kamar degam shekavanosam l'shem shamayim. He's referring to the Mishnah that says the machloikas b'sham b'sul is machloikas b'sham shamayim. Degam shekavanosam l'shem shamayim nasa toyer kebeis toyeris al yedezer shloishim shul kol tzarchem. It was l'shem shamayim. But it's also true that the Torah became two Torahs. It's an unbelievable thing. And I think you see from here how scary machloikas is. That even a machloikas shi l'shem shamayim, and this is the Mishnah Novice, right? You walk away from the Mishnah Novice, you think, oh, machloikas shi l'shem shamayim, that's the good machloikas. And then koirach v'adosai is the bad machloikas. Stay far away from the machloikas koirach v'adosai, but the machloikas b'shamayim b'sil, that's the machloikas l'shem shamayim. No bad's going to come from that. Shomer mitzvah l'yeda davara. What can possibly come from a machloikis that's l'shem shamayim? I think you see not that way. A machloikis that was l'shem shamayim, that was done with all the right kavanas, everyone had a right to do whatever they did. But at the same time, says the Marsha, didn't change the metzius. It didn't negate the reality. At the end of the day, it was a machloikis, and a machloikis is a machloikis. And it was kashal Yisrael kiyem shenasa by ha'ego, and this was a turning point in the history of Klal Yisrael, and coming full circle, that's why the Mechaber says in Arachayim Simen Tov Kuf Pei, that it's for that reason, Yidden, Chassidim, and Tzadikim used to fast on Tes Adar because they understood Tes Adar, the day that's the setting of the last four dafim that we just learned. This was what triggered this unbelievable Yerida and unbelievable Shrikhasatayr.